Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
North Portland's Albina neighborhood used to be home to a thriving music scene centered around its Black community. Musical celebrities such as Cab Calloway, Sammy Davis Jr., and Joe Louis would hang out or play impromptu shows in North Portland nightclubs when they were in town playing the city's larger segregated venues. But the construction of both Interstate 5 and the Emmanuel Hospital bulldozed many of those neighborhoods, burying this part of Portland's rich history. But thanks to the Albina Music Trust, we're now all able to dig into the past through the Albina Community Archive. It's actually the only full-service community archive in the United States dedicated to the restoration of a Black community's musical culture. So today on CityCast Portland, we're talking with the project's lead archivist, Bobby Smith, and Norman Sylvester, a longtime musician who grew up playing in the Albina music scene. They've come to share some music and some stories. It's Monday, March 18th. I'm Claudia Mesa, and this is what Portland's talking about. So, Norman, you were in soul bands in Portland like Rated X, as well as the Eminem band, going all the way back to the 1960s. Could you paint us a picture, like what the shows you were playing were like?
Well, in the 60s, the neighborhoods and the community of Afro-Americans was so strong. We always had a base of an audience. We have places to play. A lot of musicians, all kinds of vocalists and drummers, and we could always have a band together. But basically, we were doing social club functions, nightclubs in those days. There were clubs like the Arkansas Club, the Oklahoma Club, the Texas Club. They did socials, summer socials, spring socials. Zodiac, you know, birthday parties, you know, we did all that kind of stuff, and also music in the park in the summertime. So we had a lot of avenues to play, and there was a lot of bands in those days. The Monarchs and the Majestics, that's how the M&Ms came to be. I was in part of the Monarchs and part of the Majestics members put a band together. That's how we became the M&M band.
I get that.
The Monarchs and the Majestics. So Rated X was in 1969. Rated X was a 9-piece soul band that I put together, myself and Clarence Rogers, the music director, keyboardist and vocalist. And we had a young vocalist, Penny Fontenot. She was like 17 at the time, but had a voice like Gladys, you know, Gladys Knight. And we were surrounded by other bands like Slickaphonics and all those bands, you know, that was around at that time. And, you know, it was just strong. Music was strong. The community was strong. When you got a strong community, music just floats over the top of it, you know, because it's going to be received and caressed and embraced by the people, you know. So it was a blessing to be a part of that scene in those days.
Yeah. You know, we keep talking about Rated X. We were hoping to play a song. Maybe we'll play it first and then maybe you could tell me a little bit about the song.
Sure. That was 1969 at Vanco Records in Vancouver, Washington. We went over there, and of course, we thought we were superstars at the time. And, you know, like we all do when we hit the studio, you know, where. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful recording session at RATEDX. And it was just a funky thing. We just jammed it out. And the horn player from Slickaphonics, Donnie and Ronnie Miller, was on that too. And Clarence wrote What You're Gonna Do About It, the flip side of that. And he and I are still playing music at this time. So Rated X was just a gumbo of neighborhood grooving, you know, just, we just said, hey, what's in it? Let's stick our foot in it, take our socks off and put some toe jam in it. You know, we're going to stank it up. And that was stanking it up in 1969.
I love that. Put your foot in it. I love that. Yeah. I mean, it sounds great. I would love to hear that live. Like that, that's a banger right there. So I'm sure there were like shows every week.
Oh yeah, it was places, and everybody had day jobs, by the way. So just know that they had day jobs and families. So there were some that dedicated their lives to the music that played every night of the week. Cause sometimes you could set up in a nightclub and play on Thursday and leave your gear set up until Sunday. And the Sunday would be a jam session.
Yeah.
So yeah, you didn't move your gear back and forth like they're doing nowadays, where you go like Friday one place, Saturday the next place. In those days you just played the club the whole weekend.
Nice. Well, did you ever think this music and these stories were going to be preserved, that you'd be talking about them with some super cool podcast geniuses like us in 2024?
I did not. You know, it's just like when I came here in 1957 from Louisiana, if you would have asked me about 2024, I would have been sure that we would have had flying cars by now.
Right? So, no, seriously, right? I thought that too, just like in the early 90s. I'm like, oh, for sure, at least a hoverboard.
So no way I fathom at all that we'd have archive music going on. And, you know, it's such a blessing for what Bobby is doing, and mm-hmm. Calvin and Ken and the whole crew. You know, the conception of Albina Trust, Music Trust. And it's really a blessing to all the musicians that recorded and really put their hearts into their music back in the day, that going forward, it will be out in archives for people to see. You know, it's just like hieroglyphics on the wall, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to read them, and it's there, you know. So archaeologists see that. So basically, I guess Bobby is just an archaeologist, man. He's just taking all our writing of music and stuff, and he's making it so people can see it for years and years to come. And we all do appreciate that.
Yeah. Bobby, when did you start getting interested in this music? And when did you get the spark to preserve it?
Well, first, thank you, Norman. You know, this isn't a project without the musicians. So it's all of us that are doing this work. And to answer your question, Claudia, I never thought I'd be doing this work. It's been a really organic project, and we just responded. You know, we made space for musicians to come through and say, oh, you know, what you really need to hear is this reel-to-reel, or I want to show you pictures of the band. And so we found ways to preserve that material, and here we are nearly a decade later with a lot more of it. And I think my interest has really just been to kind of, I love hearing the stories, because before this project existed, you know, and I'll just, you know, toot our horn a little bit, is we couldn't really find this music. Other metro areas, Seattle, San Francisco, comparative markets on the West Coast, you know, there's a wide berth of music from the African American community you could hear and experience. And that just really wasn't the case here in town. And so, but it was out there, you know, bands were recording, they were making demos so they could get gigs. And a lot of that material is just, you know, it's just now kind of coming to life.
Yeah. And that's basically the Albina Music Trust, right? Like, what exactly is it? Could you explain?
Yeah. Well, we want to create a preservation function in community to preserve the arts and cultural legacy of the Albina neighborhood. It's been, this work feels needed. And so as a result, you know, we kind of put together this concept for the Albina Community Archive as a way in which folks could access that material online. It was quite a big effort. And when we started to round up all of the oral histories and, you know, reel-to-reels, cassettes, photography, all that stuff, we realized, you know, we've sat with about 150 different folks over the years who have brought in their materials. There are roughly 12,000 archive items in this digital repository. We raised nearly $500,000 to hire staff and web designers. And so there's, you know, there's some moving parts, but the through line is the musician participation and leadership in finding where the project needs to go. I mean, the last thing I'd say about it is, you know, traditionally someone, you know, like myself in this role of, you know, interviewing, monitoring, whatever, working in communities of color, a white guy like me often is the one who's deciding to tell the story. You know, it's often the guy that's coming in and saying, you know, this is really great content. I'm going to write a book about this. And one of the things I think I'm really proud of, I could say, is that, you know, the musicians are leading this charge, and we're just putting in the supports necessary to enable that work.
Right. Well, let's talk about the archive, the Albina Community Archive. Could you walk listeners through what they could find there?
Yeah. So the Albina Community Archive, again, is meant to preserve the legacy of the arts and culture, various communities in the Albina neighborhood of North and Northeast Portland. What you can find in terms of content on the site is, you know, film, photography, audio, printed materials, articles, oral histories. We even have business card collections and photographs of archaeological items, as Norman might put it. But we've also this web architecture to build this was really designed in response to the needs of how we wanted to present it. And so we've made this architecture available to other mission-aligned organizations. So if you go to our homepage, albinacommunityarchive.org, you'll see a page for Albina Music Trust and all the music material we're working with. You'll see Black United Fund of Oregon and some of their legacy materials we've helped them to preserve. The list goes on and on of the various organizations that we'd like to open this up to. But, you know, again, it's a community archive. There's a lot of barriers for us to receive funding and to continue this work, because it's not exactly seen in the same ways that preservation institutions nationally and statewide are seen.
Yeah. Well, Norman, what's it like to have all these memories preserved? Like, have you found anything in the archive that you'd forgotten about?
Well, you know, one thing about what you just said, memories preserved, to preserve the memories. I remember a lot of the bands, and then I'll see some bands that I had forgotten about after, oh, snap. I forgot about those guys, mm-hmm. You know, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, who's that that lady singing? Oh, yeah, I remember her. You know, so I'm 78 years old. So as I look back to 1957, when I first came to Portland, Oregon, the archives open up all the windows that I was. I had a day job, so I was not there all the time. So I knew of stuff and some I didn't know of, but the archives gives me that memory. It sparks my memory. And people of my age group and younger will do the same thing about Albina as it was, you know, the Albina Arts Center, the Matt Dishman Center, which was Knott Street, which was a community hub, the Cotton Club, you know, Fred's Place, the Royal Esquires, Joe's Place. All these places will be brought back to memory through the archives. And that's what I see, the window of memory. And it makes me smile every time I hear a piece of vinyl or something that came from a reel-to-reel tape in those days that's been put on vinyl, or acetate that's been put on vinyl. You know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to hold a community up in memory, because Albina was a booming place when I got here in 57. I mean, it was slamming. I mean, everything was happening.
It's just so wonderful that there's like a physical location for people to, you know, meet at, if that makes sense. Even if it's online, just because a lot of those places you mentioned, they don't exist anymore. That street might be there, but it's different. It's so different. You know, there's a new seasons. There's all this stuff that, you know, I feel like a lot of people can't really wrap their head around of like what this community felt like, what it looked like, what it meant. And I feel like this is so important for like all of Portland, you know, all of Portland, you know, and the area to understand like, well, man, there was something very special here. And there's something still very special here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, let's hear another song from the archive. There's another recording we wanted to play, and it's by the group Shades of Brown. It was recorded at the Albina Arts Center in the 60s. Can you guys tell me physically what's in the Albina Arts Center now? Like, where was it?
Well, right now it's right on the corner of Williams Avenue and Killingsworth. Back in the day, the Albina Arts Center took up that whole corner, and it was a community hub. They had karate lessons and all kinds of different things in the front part of it. But in the back end of it, bands rehearsed the B3 organ back there. They recorded back there. And like we said, it was a community hub. And right now, Dr. S. Renee Mitchell has the Soul Restoration Center there now. And it's an active center. And she's going to expand from the middle part of it into another part next door and turn it into a healing center, which will be acupuncture, yoga, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that space is still vibrant and a part of the community.
Nice. Well, let's listen to this song, Shades of Brown, which was recorded at the Albina Arts Center back in the 60s.
Take a look around. Take a look around. Can't see. Just what's coming down. I see father. Father and son. Yes, they're fighting. Fighting with guns. I see daughter and mother, oh yeah. Hate can't stand one another.
I know, Norman, you didn't have much to do with that band, but do you remember Shades of Brown?
I do. Vaguely, you know, but I don't know a lot about who was the members. Bobby would be able to fill you in on that.
Yeah, I could speak to that. So that was a group fronted by Greg Smith, the vocalist. Ken Berry, who's the founder of this project, is also a very active musician and musical director. He's playing organ on that recording. Nick Christmas, the drummer who drummed with the Norman Sylvester Band for a number of years, playing drums. Wilbur Antoine on guitar, Harvey McDaniel on bass, and Al Nolgren on saxophone and flutes. Theramemory on trumpet, Grammy winning Theramemory, who won with Esperanza Spalding about 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They won, yeah.
That's all to say. This is we have an in-house record label. One of the things that we worked early on to do was to try to resurrect some of the music from the neighborhood and give it a proper release on its native format that it, you know, should have been released on in its time. So with the help of some regional agencies, Regional Arts and Culture Council, Oregon Community Foundation, and others, we've been able to get this label together. So Shades of Brown is our 10th release on the Albina Music Trust record label. It'll come out in early April.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So wait, Albina Trust has a record label?
Yeah.
I'm like learning about this as we speak.
Yeah, Norman's mentioned a couple of groups. Slickophonic we released on the label.
Oh, nice.
Never released in its time. We've released a number of groups. The Gangsters, Legendary Beyonds. Bands that never had a release in their time yet had a demo sitting in a closet or in a basement somewhere for about 40, 50 years.
So cool.
Special, yeah.
Well, you know, Norman, what would you want people who weren't part of that era, what would you want them to know about your Portland?
Well, what I'd like to let everybody know is that the creative time of that 60s and 70s to me was a lot of self-taught musicians, a lot of musicians that came out of churches as well. And just let people know that the back cover of Jet Magazine had the top 10 for the month. That was our set list for our gigs. We listened to those artists. So if you listen to a lot of Bobby's early archives of that time, you don't hear a lot of 12-bar blues. You hear a lot of funk fusion, R&B slapping kind of grooves, you know, and that we were influenced by that whole era of music. So I think that everybody should just check out the website and dig into that music, man, and just have a big old funk sandwich, you know, just put some bread on it, funk that sandwich up and sit there and put your headphones on and just dig it, you know, because you're listening to musicians that they taught themselves to play with those 45 turntables in their rooms, and they put the 45 on it until they wore it out. If they could hear it, they could play it. And that was a lot of trained musicians too, but I just have to say a lot of just God-given talent musicians that came through that time. And for us to still be listening to a lot of that now, it's such a blessing to have out there. So everybody dig into it, get you a funk sandwich out of Albina Music Trust archives and sit back with a cup of tea. I would say green tea with some lemon in it and check out the grooves.
Nice. Well, let's talk about shows. I know you're still playing. Like, when's your next gig?
I have a residency at Alienay Casino Resort in the Line and Lure Room. So my next gig is next Thursday. I play every third Thursday at Alienay. And my summer festivals are kicking up. I already have the 4th of July for the Waterfront Blues. The summer free-for-all is something put on by the city of Portland. So just everybody look out for summer free-for-all in the park.
Summer free-for-all. Yeah.
We do have an event for the Summer Free-for-All Festival coming up at Patton Park outside of the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. So we've been supporting the Black Artist Residency Program that's been happening through the city of Portland at the IFCC. And so we're partnering with the IFCC and the city to put on a concert August 24th. It's another iteration of the Time Sound series. It'll be led by trumpeter Noah Simpson. And a group of musicians to perform the music of back in the day, you know, so a lot of the songs that have come out on our label, but reimagined and recontextualized. This is breaking news. So we haven't announced it yet, but this, you know, but I feel like it's important for folks to know. We'll have some of our longstanding musicians involved, and Norman, I'm going to be talking to you about what your calendar availability is like for that.
Okay.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for taking some time hanging out with me. Thank you both so much for the work that you do. And we'll throw all of the links, you know, for Norman's calendar and upcoming events in our show notes. So feel free to check that out.
Hey, Claudia, I just want to say it's fun hanging out with you.
Ooh, thanks. Did everyone hear that? Everyone heard that? Okay, good.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend, rate, or leave us a review. It really does help us out. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.